thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We are Faith Student Ministries. About a year ago, we decided to become Faith Student Ministries, all 6th through 12th grade, really being on a discipleship pathway together toward Jesus Christ. One of my favorite elements of my job is that I get this cool responsibility of just kind of looking at, with the team that works with me, looking at the spiritual education of our students who are becoming young adults, who are already leading in our church because they're leading worship. Middle schoolers are leading worship. Like, it's just such an awesome environment to be in with them. And so we wanted to come in and we want to just kind of say, hey, like, we want to report about some of the stuff that we've done for the summer. We want to be able to let you guys know what FSM is. And we want to just do that honestly through asking the students to participate in talking about who we are and what we're doing. But the first thing I am going to do is I'm going to have Jin G come on up. Sorry, she didn't know it was first. And I asked Jennifer to talk about, so during the year on Wednesday nights, for the most part, we do small groups. Small groups where we're in this like community, studying God's word, studying through curriculums, asking questions like, you know, some of our middle school questions are going to be, what do angels and demons have to do with me? I mean, these are things that are just deep questions that they can chat through with an adult. And Jennifer has led our sophomore girls, freshman girls, and sophomore girls this last year. And I wanted her to just talk a little bit about what small groups mean to the leaders and what they mean to the students and why we would love any teenager you know to be a part of our small groups, just seeking God with us. They don't even have to know him yet. We just want them in there so that they can be introduced to how spectacular and wonderful he is. Jin G.
Hello. Small groups, I think, is one of my favorite parts of FSM. It's taking something that they learned on Sunday morning, and it's applying to their everyday lives in a very practical way. And sometimes I think you go home from service and you're like, oh, that was really good. You don't think about it again until next Sunday when, you know, you continue the service or the series. And it's just taking it a step deeper, going a step further into the word. What does it say? They're asking questions. If you're in my group, if you ask me a question, I'll just ask you one back. But so it's forcing them to think for themselves and to really dive deeper. And I think the thing also, just them getting the word is awesome, but also the community that it builds. The students that come every week, not just on Sundays, but on Wednesdays, because Sundays are just kind of crazy. It's a normal church service. You don't get to connect with them in the same way. And so just it's great having 10 girls in front of me that I just get to know deeper, get to know their lives, get to know what's going on with them. And so I think just the community aspect is awesome. They become a tight group of people, and we just do life together, and it's awesome. And the Lord's done a lot through it, and I love it. It's one of my favorite things. Yeah.
Good. Thanks, Jennifer. Yeah. So I was just recently on a road trip with my little brother and his two kids to road trip and see one of my other brothers, which was fantastic. I've got three brothers, which makes me tough, and that's probably why I can work with students. No. But I like to tell the kids we wrestled stuff out at home. We never, like, argued. It was just fighting, wrestled things out. And so my little brother and I talking, he just got called up to be a worship leader at the church that he's at in California, and just talking about things of God and, like, what does it mean? And one of the things that we're pursuing in FSM, and my oldest brother said to me when we were talking about this, he's like, that's really scary. We want students to say, I will waste my life before the King. Everything I am is his. I will do all things for him so that he can be glorified and honored, because we get one life that we get to do that with. And we want to do that from our whole soul, our whole heart, with all that we are. We want to waste our life before the cross because that's what matters. That's where we're going and what we're doing. And so we teach through Bible, books of the Bible during Sundays during the year and sometimes some series. So we're about to hit up in September. We're going to study the Sabbath. I don't know how many of you guys Sabbath well, but I don't. I don't Sabbath 100% well, and I need to figure out how to do that. I love to teach the vulnerable moments of, like, I need to learn this so that they can learn it too. Like, what is the ancient truth? What is God's sovereignty? How am I personally sanctified? What is rest and restoration? All found in Him. And that's a big deal for us. So we're teaching in FSM, trying to. We hope the kids are grasping it. No, but we're pressing them into the Word of God and to what He calls us to as His people, so that when we say, when I said to my older brother, I'm willing to waste my life before the King, he said, that terrifies me. And he's a believer too, you know, but it's these things that where it's like God calling us to a deeper level of intimacy with Him, where we realize our lives are all about who He is and what He has planned for us. So we are going to report a little bit about summer, but we're going to do a video first. And so if you are on the Fascinate, New York, or West Virginia missions trip, come up after the video so you don't disrupt the screen. There we go. That'll work.
We're sleeping in a church site. We're sleeping in the part of the church that got flooded when Hurricane Sandy hit. So it's a little sandy down there. And right now, some people are sleeping on the floor, but I decided to bring a pool floaty. So I'm sleeping on a pool floaty.
Living, baby, fast car, fast night. Everybody looking for a chance at the fast life. The fast lane, but get swallowed under city lights. All of the lights, blind, no sight. Ripping the wheel, steady turning with the herb burning. They looking for a chance to make it to the bird journey.
A lot of the people here in Long Beach, New York had basements that were completely flooded. So we are drywalling, mudding, sanding, hopefully painting if we can press in and press on, and just doing some, we're one piece in this puzzle of putting Long Beach homes back together.
Of our team, we have 12 kids at this particular house, and only two of us have ever laid drywall before. So that could be a disaster or crazy or scary or whatever.
And so yeah, we've got a bunch of teams broken up on our site, and they're all working together, and high schoolers are hanging drywall and mud, and so it's good stuff.
But the work is hard because you're like sweating and really hot, but we just keep on pushing on.
I love it. They're doing so awesome. They're working hard. It's a long day. It's hot. There's no air conditioning. It's, you know, 90 degrees in there or whatever, but they're working and loving it and singing songs and being goofy, and it's fun. It's good service.
It's been great working with all the students and just seeing them grow and work together as a team. And for me, that's kind of rewarding to see kind of their growth.
I think it helps us all grow as one team and one unit together, because sometimes when you're just at church and you're just kind of in your own bubble with your own friends, it's hard to meet new people, and not all of us have been friends before the trip. So it's like so many different groups are coming together with so many different people, and you just get to meet new people. And I think the work of having to have that teamwork together is impacting us and helping us to grow as a church youth group. So yeah, it's awesome.
When I take students on trips, I like to expose them to the culture, what people do for work, what people have experienced in the environment. Here in Long Beach, we started out by, we arrived and we decided, because we were in New Jersey, we're going to Carlo's Bakery, the cake boss from TV, and get them cupcakes and had a good time and get them amped up. And then the next day we went into the city and did the 9/11 tribute and walking tour.
Well, going through the museum, we started in the whole, showed all the artifacts from it, so it like showed a lot of I don't know, there was like a blown off wing from one of the planes, and there was some seats and some like plane tickets that they found on the plane. And so they had all that kind of stuff in like glass cases. One of the guys who was actually in the building, he was on the 67th floor, he showed us around the outdoor reflecting pools. And so it was like the north and the south footprints of the buildings.
And after that, he sat there, he gave us a story that he was actually in the, I think, south building when it actually, it was on its way down. Him and the group were running out of the building as it was falling.
I think it became more real because you see so many things on YouTube and TV where it's like, it's so distant and it's not where you're living and it's not the people you're affected by and it's not your family, but then you go there and you see that. And you are affected inwardly, and you feel it inside of you because you see all of it for real.
It was tough. I felt really bad for everyone that lost someone in that tragedy.
Well, so one of our gals, Amanda, at the end of our tour, we were all just, you know, inspired and amazed by this man and all that he's been through as a survivor of Vietnam and now a survivor of 9/11. And he was just saying, you know, at any point, anything can happen to you in your life. And, you know, just because you survive one thing doesn't mean nothing bad is ever going to happen to you again. And so Amanda just felt like called to pray for him.
And so we got all the kids together, and at the end we're like, hey, can we pray for you? He was like, yeah, no one's ever prayed for me. And I was like, sweet, so we prayed for him. Yes!
All the kids laid hands on him and we just made this big circle, and it was fun to watch other people kind of stop and watch, like, what is going on with this group right now? And the kids all just prayed for, you know, joy in his life and prayed for, you know, thanking God for his safety and thanking him for the message that we received that day. And
it was cool because like people were like just walking around us, just stopping and staring and all, like, wow, those people, there's a big huge prayer circles going on right there. And I think that's what the big thing is, because if somebody just sees the prayer circle, that could completely and utterly change their life. Like, this is a group of what it looks like a bunch of teenagers that are willing to just come out here and out of nowhere just start praying right in the middle of hundreds of people, just start praying out of nowhere. And I think that right there could have a big leading effect in somebody's heart.
It was a powerful moment. And just, I mean, that's just a little window into how awesome these kids are, though. That, like, that was them. That wasn't the leader saying, hey, you guys, let's pray for him. That was totally our teen-led hearts just wanting to love on this guy and bless him. So it was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, so we had three trips this summer, and I'm asking the kids to just, we'll do a little bit interview style, and come on, Rio. Rio. Get on up here, Rio. So we went to West Virginia with the middle school, and we worked with, West Virginia has a lot of extremely impoverished people, and sometimes our suburbanite kids don't recognize that there is that kind of poverty in America. But this family that we worked with in West Virginia, it was a single father. He had a lot of kids out of wedlock, and he was going to lose his kids if he could not get this home finished this summer. The state was going to take them. And so, not believers, but we, such a cool thing. He did devotions with us each day and kind of shared his opinion, but heard the students' opinion as well about what the scriptures meant and what the scriptures had to say to us about it. And so that was fantastic. And then my husband and I went on both trips, and 5 days later, after we were home from West Virginia, we went to New York with the high schoolers. And again, doing hurricane relief there with all of the flooding and the different, literally the place that the boys were sleeping had been flooded. So that was a work site as well. And again, just this, almost in New York, like a sense of pride where people didn't want you to know that something was wrong in their house. So the outside looked okay, but most of the insides were not. And so being able to go in, work with them, stick with just cleaning and drywalling and pressing through, learning how to use power drills and all that kind of stuff. And then the last trip was Fascinate, which was a worship and ministry conference at IHOP, where we got to experience just some really in-depth like moments of worship. The students were exposed to taking scripture and turning it into worship just like literally on the spot, you know, just this really cool stuff that was happening there. And so I'm going to ask each of the students just to introduce themselves and to say something interesting about the trips. Can you all do that? I'm going to start with Hayden. Hayden's long-winded, so we're going to start with Hayden down here.
Hi, everybody. My name's Hayden. So I just really love this church, and yeah, everyone here is just amazing, and I just absolutely love all the kids here, and I just really love all the adults, too, because they guide us, and I just thank you for your wisdom, so. Okay, I guess I'm talking about the trip. So, sorry, I thought we were just introducing first. So, the trip was like the best thing in the world because I not only got to go on the trip, but leading up to it, the reason I wanted to go because I realized that in my life that I have a lot more than other kids have. And realizing that really opened my eyes to what these kids, Chandra and Sheldon, have. And these are these kids that, again, their father has some trouble with stuff. And when we went to West Virginia, I really didn't know what I was going to because I figured that we were going to a place where we were just going to go stay in a really nice place and we were going to go up on this mountain and we were going to build for the day. Yay. But that's not how things went. And I think that's how awesome it is because God just said, no, you're not thinking this. Now you're going to do this. So I just really was humble, and the reason that I wanted to go, sorry, I kind of like just go like this, and I'm like, vroom, so sorry. So the reason that I wanted to go was because I wanted to reach out to kids because when I was 11 years old, I felt like God was calling me to be a pastor. And that's a lot for me because I not only get to meet kids that I don't know, but I get to show them what God has done through me and what they can do. And so when we met these kids, you know, she had more connections to the girls. And when we were there, Chandra, she's 13 years old and she loves to sing. So while the middle girls were singing, you know, they're sitting there singing like some song and I don't know it. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, woo. And she's just thinking I'm so weird. And I'm just like, wow, I'm sorry I don't know that song. And so like just being able to sing and just be with them while working, she got to see what we can do and how God is working through us. But not only that, but she can see that we're not only doing that, but she can do it too. And so she started working with us a little. She was hammering nails, bending them back together. And while my singing was kind of bad, she was just sitting there still listening to it. So it was all really awesome. And I think one of the best things is seeing that we not only could build something, but we could help them get their family back. And knowing that you're going to sleep in a house. No, I know that, like, when I go to bed, I don't think, wow, sleeping in this house, yeah, it's good. But, like, when they go to bed, they're thinking, wow, these kids just came, and they're helping me build this house. And they can sleep at night knowing that they're in a nice house. And I feel like helping with that really just shows how much God makes a difference. And he's definitely made a difference in my life, so, yeah. Sorry, I was a little nervous, so.
Well, I'm Rio, and I went to New York, and I'm not gonna lie, it was a little rough, because most of the missions trips I've gone on, we've gotten to meet the people that we're working with or working for, And this time around, we didn't really get to meet the guy that whose house we were working on because he was at work all the time. So it was just a different perspective on missions trip because usually I'm used to working with the people and being able to see like how they're blessed. And this one was just different, and it got to show me like I don't have to know the people in order to help them and in order to bless them. And I don't have to see them being blessed to know that they are getting blessed by what I'm doing for them and helping them out. And it was just a really good learning trip, and it was a lot of fun.
Hey, I'm Rachel. I went on the West Virginia trip. Like Hayden said, we all like did not expect what we saw there. We all expected to go up a mountain and build something and be done for the day, but it wasn't like that. These people that we were working or helping them build their house, they lived in like a trashed small camper, and that was it. And it was tiny. There was one bedroom and a couch, and there was like papers everywhere and clothes everywhere. There was barely any room to walk around, and it just, for us, it smelled bad, but they were happy in it. It was definitely an eye-opener for us to go there and see how happy they are with that much stuff and how little space they're living in and what they have. And then for us, we're like, I want this and I want that. And every time we get a new thing, it's always a new thing that we want. So it was a definitely an eye-opener for that. And it was also just a lot of fun to get to know the family. Like Hayden said, we were all singing a bunch as we were working. It was a lot of like backtracking. Like we built 3/4 of the deck and then we had to tear it all up because one board was missing. So, and we dug holes, or some girls dug holes in the back for the back deck all morning, and then it was supposed to rain, so they had to fill the holes again. And it was just a lot of backtracking and getting ready for the next people that were going to come the next week. So it was definitely hard work, but we definitely set the pace, and we didn't feel like we put Christ into the lives and they know exactly what they want to do with Christ and everything, but we definitely felt like we set Christ into their lives so that they know who Christ is and that the next groups can come in and lead them the rest of the way to Christ.
Hi, I'm Rachel. Or
Little Rachel.
Little Rachel, yay! I'm LR. And my thing on the trip was all the girls were trying to get me to sing all the time because they all thought I could sing really well. And I don't really like singing, but it ended up being a great eye-opener on how much I really, really love to worship. And I think I'm going to be worshiping a lot more now and singing a lot. So, yay!
Hi, I'm Ellie, and I went on the Fascinate trip. And it was a lot of fun, whether it was on the bus going there and Jesslyn taking pictures of me sleeping backwards or upside down. I don't remember. And just worshiping the Lord. And while we were there, it was really nice just to be able to worship what we were, I guess, what the guest speaker was talking about, we then worshiped about that. And it was really nice just to sit and listen to the words and just soak in what we were taught that day. And I felt the presence of the Lord every single time I walked in there. And it was a lot of fun. And the Lord spoke to me in so many ways. And one of the ways he spoke to me was he let me know that I was supposed to be a special ed teacher when I grew up. And while we were there, we also, one of the pastors, as we were worshiping, asked for those who had depression to raise their hands or injuries of any sort. And so I raised my hand because I've been suffering with depression ever since I was little. And it was to the point where I couldn't get up in the morning and have a joyful heart to go to school. And I wasn't able to go to school some days. And so everyone who went on the Fascinate trip came around and started praying for me. And all these verses and visions were given to me. That like the Lord has been telling me about, like my chains were broken and I was dancing and singing for the Lord in front of him while he was seated. And so ever since, I have been free of depression, and that has been amazing and a great gift.
I'll try.
Hi, I'm Curtis.
Hi.
I went on the New York trip, and we met this, we were working for this lady named,
Marianne.
And every day she brought us food and drinks, and she always was happy that we were there helping her with all this work, because her sons came in like a week before and like rebuilt the whole basement, but then mold got to the wood, so they had to tear it all back out. So we helped rebuild we put up drywall and mudded and put things back together so it was fun. And then we got to go to New York City and look at the World Trade Center Memorial. It was a good experience to see what actually happened there and to see what they're doing now to help restore that. So, yeah.
Hi, I'm Doug. I went on the New York trip, and I was with I was with Curtis in the same house, and we worked for Marianne. And the whole story behind it is, for the first couple months, she called a couple agencies to help her fix her house, and she moved to her daughter's house, and she just couldn't live there at that moment, and no one called her back, no one would help her. And so she actually had to come back to her house, which was in shambles, at least the basement was, and because people were just stealing stuff out of her house. And it came to a point where she was in her house, and around 10 or 10:30, police would come by and say, "You will be shot if you are out now." And it was like a war zone, she had told us. So she was really scared, and then she had called one agency, and then they called Next Step, which is the ministry where you work through, and they called the leader that was helping us work with the house, and we were the second group there. The group before us had just started, and they had done a lot for them, and she gave us snacks every so often, which was really cool. After a couple days or so, her, son came by and said hi and was very thankful for what we were doing. He had said he'd done it already, and then they had to tear it out because it was unsafe with black mold, and it was just a mess. And so we got to rebuild that, and then on the last day before we left, we got to pray over her, and she was just after we prayed over her, she was like, "Yeah, my daughter sends me verses every day," and I just kind of new to this Christian thing, and this is really an eye-opener for me, what Christianity is. It's not a religion, it's something, a group of people that allow to help, and it's a community more than a religion.
All right, my name is Ryan. Hey guys. So I went on the New York trip and the Fascinate trip, so I got a lot of quality time with my fellow FSMers. And so on New York, basically what they said, but at the end of it, we all got to pray for Marianne, since she was in tears of how thankful she was. And we probably prayed for about 15 minutes, and it was very good then. And also, I think the day before that, her son brought us pizza. So that was very good. And so, on the final couple days, we had a free day. And we got to, tour around New York City. And on the bus, we got to Chinatown. And we went into this store. And there was these very not that story. So there was these really nice pair of Apple headphones. Of course, I knew they were fake. I still bought them anyway since I needed new ones. They broke in 2 weeks. And so, yeah. And the Fascinate trip, that was very fun. The most fun part was probably the bus ride there and the bus ride back, because there was a lot of great moments. But the speakers, they were very great there. I think Alan Hood, if any of you guys have heard of him, he was pretty funny and had a great message. The whole base of it was like they were skimming over like the end times and like some of their personal stories. They never really dug in like deep into it that much, but it was a very good, very, very good time. Yeah.
Okay, my name's Lauren. So loud. I went on the New York trip, and before I went to New York, I went to Israel for 2.5 weeks with the internationals. And I know the whole time I was there, I was just dreading that I had to come home and leave for New York the next week. And I felt so bad because I'm like, this is a mission trip. Like, why am I dreading this? And the month that we signed up for it, I just really felt called to just go. And I knew that I had a purpose there, and I wasn't sure what it was, but I just decided to go for it. My parents said that they would help me pay for it, and so I just decided to go. And on the plane right there, I just realized that I was going to serve the people of New York, and it didn't matter. It wasn't me. It was God working through me, and I was his instrument. And it wasn't my bad attitude was going to ruin the whole trip for me if I didn't decide at that moment that I was going for the right reasons. And so on the trip, we just got there, and worship was amazing, and we just all dove in deep to God's word, and we learned so many stories just from Next Step Ministries, which is the ministry we went with, and we watched these videos every night, and it was crazy, and just the stories were amazing. And the Wednesday night that we were there, the worship leader came up to me and was like, "Hey, I noticed that you just really love Jesus. Are you on a worship team?" And I was like, "Yeah, I actually lead worship back home." And he's like, "Will you sing with us?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So I went up and we practiced for a few hours, and not a few hours, but so we started worshiping. And that's the moment that I realized that, like, that's what I'm supposed to be in life. Like, that's what God has called me to do. And that just opened my eyes to realize that God placed me there at that exact moment to worship him and to know that he has called me to so much more and just crazy stuff. So.
All right, so I'm John. I went on the New York trip. I was the guy with the backwards red hat and the sleeveless shirt. I didn't pack, so. But it was really like a cultural shock for me because I was born up in the mountains and like in a town of like 1,000 people. And then we go to like downtown New York. And it's just like, oh, I've never seen this many people in my life. And it's this really difference. Like if you run into someone here, like on the street, and you're just like, "Oh, I'm sorry, dude." If you run into this, like they just keep walking. It's just like, okay. But then it was another cultural shock because then we went to Long Beach, which has like that small town feel again. And then like everyone knew who we were, and we were all wearing our FSM t-shirts. And so everyone's like, "Oh, you're the guys that are helping like rebuild from Hurricane Sandy." And it's like, "Oh, yeah." But then, wow, okay. And then on our last day, we went back to New York, and we actually went to Chinatown. And I'm not telling that story, but you tell a story? All right. Okay, well, Jesslyn's giving me the, don't tell the story, but
Just tell it really fast.
All right, I'm telling it. Sorry, Jesslyn. But okay. So Doug was fighting over a guy for a fake Rolex that was originally like $25, and he got it down to $5, which was big. And then so the guy's like getting out change to break Doug's like 50 or whatever, and Doug just goes into a store, and the guy like didn't know where he was, and so all these street vendors were scouring Chinatown looking for our group. And so we all have like our hats on. We're all like walking slowly. And yeah. So, yeah.
I had to.
Freaking John Dales, John Dales.
Okay. So I'm Kristen. I went on the New York trip, and one of the things that really stuck out to me was, I think it was Thursday night, and that day we all, I guess like our group especially, we were all super tired, we were all just in really bad moods, we didn't really want to be there. I just remember my heart was really down, and then I remember that night during worship, after the sermon, the like leader of Next Step at the church said, we want you guys to go downstairs and wash your group's feet. And all of us, I just remember our whole group was like, I don't want to wash your feet. I'm angry at you. So we all were just very like, oh, I don't want to do this. And then we finally got down there, and I just remember God just saying, like, you came on this missions trip to serve. You served other people. Now you need to serve the group that served the other people with you. And so I just remember, like, all of the girls, I just remember us all crying. I remember us all just washing each other's feet and just giving each other visions of people we were going to be, people we were going to touch. And it was just, it was a really big turning point in the mission trip for me, because then I was like, oh, like, these people are here with me. Like, they're not against me. They're for me. And I'm supposed to be, like, with them as a group. So I think we got a lot closer after that. Yeah.
Good job. There's no better way for me to tell the stories than for them to tell you about the time they talked to the vendor at New York and they ran away from him. Like, I can't tell it the same. Thank you, guys. You guys can sit down. Thank you. You guys can sit. So high school, middle school, pretty fantastic. We have been studying in middle school the books of Paul through the summer. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says this in 23. It's and 24, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Our Jesus Christ is coming back, and you have a youth ministry. You have a bunch of students who believe in his return, and they are eager for that moment and that day. And I just want to say thank you that you guys are a part of the heritage, that you're leaving that for them and you're creating that culture along with them. And so thank you. And I am so blessed that I don't do this alone. We had a transition in our high school, and I just want to quickly introduce Caleb and Taylor Olson. They're going to come up. Caleb is, and Taylor just arrived last week from Dallas, Texas, where they were down at Christ for the Nations in school, going to be continuing some school stuff going on here while they're here. But Caleb is taking over our high school position. He's going to be the director in that room teaching there. He dove in with Jennifer and I today as we were navigating our first Sabbath message, and he got a great dose of exposure to who Jesslyn and Gen G are and how many twists and turns that we make. But I really just want to close this evening. We're going to invite the worship team back up. But if you guys would just pray over them with me. We have a reality in youth ministry in America that there is a lot of turnover in people who care for our students. And we, are, as a culture of FSM, like, there's nothing better than them. In my world, you know, the Lord, of course, but there's nothing better than them and seeing their young lives like lit on fire for who Jesus Christ is. And I believe we took a long time of prayer and process. And when we got Caleb's application, the Holy Spirit just immediately said, pay attention. And so we're so blessed that Caleb is here with us, and glad that he said yes to us and that God said yes, you know, for him to be here. And I just want to ask you to pray over them. It's not their first ministry position, but it's probably the biggest at this point, and just pray over them as they process and develop into the leader and get to know the families and the students. And one of the girls today said, "Have you been stalking me?" Because he knew that she was gluten-free. And I'm like, "No, I just told him an hour ago. It's okay." Like, you know. But one of the compliments that Connor McCain said, I've said this a couple times, and a few of the other students said it, is that just Caleb and Taylor are really relational and they really care about who we are. And I appreciate that statement about Caleb and about Taylor, and it's true of all of our adult leaders, and it's true of our students. I want to just challenge you guys as a congregation, know our students. Know who they are. Like, they're fabulous people. And if you're like, how do I do that? Come talk to me. Come talk to Caleb. Come talk to an adult leader, because we'd love to say, this is how you can know them. And knowing them could just be, how can I pray for the staff? Or how can I pray for the adult leaders? Or how can I pray for the faith student leadership? That could be knowing them, and that could be what God calls you to know them. But we are a family of faith. That's been my favorite thing. I've been on staff here now about 7 years. My favorite thing has been that we are a family of faith. And you are a part of a church where your staff believes that we are family and we're pursuing Jesus Christ together as family.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.